So the talk I'm going to talk about is about the series of works. I started during a postdoc at the University of Pisa, and I will show some recent results we found. So these studies are focused on trying to understand how does the environment participate in electronic energy transfer reactions. So first I will begin giving some background for these studies. Then I will show some results we obtained 2 years ago based on a continuum dielectric description of the environment. And then I will show the most recent results we obtained with a new method based on a QMMM methodology. So well, just to give some background, these photosynthetic antenna proteins are found in the initial stage of the photosynthesis. Their function is to collect light with a large series of pigment molecules, usually chlorophylls. So afterwards, these excitations are transferred in a single in a set of energy transfer steps to our reaction centers, where they are used to drive chemical reactions to store the energy. So in order to understand the efficiency, so it's interesting that all these systems, the energy transfer reactions are so fast that this transfer is obtained with an almost perfect quantum efficiency. As a first step to understand these transfer reactions, the most basic transfer rate equation is Foster's theory, which holds the weak coupling limit, and in which the energy transfer rate is obtained from this equation, in which you have an spectral overlap factor between donor and acceptor absorption spectra. But here I want you to focus on this electronic coupling between donor and acceptor. This is the matrix element for the transfer reaction. And in particular on this Foster theory, this coupling, electronic coupling is approximated by a point dipole approximation using transition dipoles for the molecules. This approximation has been tested for a large number of groups, and nowadays you can derive this matrix element from QM-derived wave functions. But what I want you to focus is on this solvent skinning factor, which is usually, in Foster theory, is approximated just with this 1 over n squared factor, where n is the refractive index of the medium. So this is just a simple screening. And you can see that it is, in fact, very relevant, because in typical environments, it reduces by a factor of about 4, the energy transfer rate. A fundamental question that one can ask of this factor is whether this is really a good approximation to take into account these skinning effects on the coupling. Is it really independent of the particular system you have in hand? And then another question, if you are in a heterogeneous environment like a protein, is if do really the different chromophores in the system experience the same dielectric properties, or can heterogeneities on this dielectric environment induce different screening effects on these energy transfers? So in order to try to answer these questions, some years ago, first we developed an approach based on the PCM continuum solvation model. In this case, one describes the environment as a continuum dielectric characterized by the macroscopic dielectric constants. I won't enter into the details of this methodology because I don't have time, but afterwards I will show some details on this other approach we developed recently based on a mixed QMMM methodology, and in which in this case the environment is described explicitly through a polarizable force field. So as I said, 2 years ago, we applied this PCM methodology to investigate these screening effects for an over 100 chromophore pairs taken from these four photosynthetic proteins. And the most interesting result we found is that, in fact, these screening effects are not at all constant, as usually assumed by people in the literature. But in fact, they are strongly attenuated at the short Donner sector separations, which means that Foster's theory substantially underestimates the transfer rates when you are at close separations, which are in fact the typical distances you find in this kind of photosynthetic complexes. Anyway, if you focus in this particular system, this B545 antenna protein, which will be the focus of the rest of the talk, you can see that in this case, all the chromophores are at considerable separations, and in fact, one with this continuum methodology, one finds a quite constant screening effects on the system. This is a good case to try to answer this other question. Can really the heterogeneities on the active properties of the protein induce a different picture than the one finds with just a simple continuum approximation? So to try to answer this question, we develop this experiment and methodology in which you describe the environment, the solvent, or the protein through a polarizable force field. In particular, we adopt the induced dipole model. So we assign atomic isotropic polarizabilities to the MM atoms in the system. Then we have this interaction energy terms, the energy of the MM system. We have an effective Hamiltonian. We use this effective Hamiltonian in a linear response scheme to treat the excited states. We have implemented it with time-dependent DFT, CIS, with some empirical Zindro method. I can't have no time to enter into the derivation of the method, but the idea is that based on this linear response scheme, you can describe the electronic coupling from the transition densities obtained from a previous calculation for the non-interacting chromophores. So the final expression for the electronic coupling is a sum of these two terms. The first term describes an interaction between the donor and the acceptor transition densities corresponding to the excited state we are considering. And this term is implicitly modified by the solvent because these QMMM effects are introduced in all the excited state calculation. But then you have this explicit environment-mediated term, which is given as interaction between the transition density of the acceptor and the dipoles induced by the transition density of the donor. And it is this environment-mediated term that usually counteracts the sign of the direct donor-acceptor interaction, thus leading to an overall screening of the interaction. Also, as it is more intuitive, I will talk about the effective dielectric constant for energy transfer, which is defined as the inverse of this screening factor. This method, we have applied it to this B545 antenna protein, which is found on this cryptophyte algae, which are unicellular organisms. You can find in seawater and also in lakes. You can see it has an absorption profile just next to the absorption profile of water, which plants, for example, don't have. No? And another particularity of this system is this fact that the chromophores are quite far apart compared to others, and also that it is a water-soluble protein. So it's not on the thylakoid membrane as typical photosynthetic complexes, but it's inside in this lumen, so-called lumen region. So these red squares are this B545, where the energy is transferred toward these reaction centers. So first for the protein, we perform classical molecular dynamic simulations, for example, the conformational space of the protein during 10 nanoseconds with periodic boundary conditions. And from this MD simulation, we extracted a series of 140 snapshots, which we used for the subsequent QMM calculations in order to study the screening effects. To describe well these screening effects, it's very important to have a good estimate of these polarizabilities. This projection term accounts for all this skinning effect. So we derived an accurate force field for this protein using a scheme which was published by Wolf Wright from Lund, and which consists on partitioning the protein into on all its residues, 500 in this case, And for all these pieces, we compute isotropic atomic polarizabilities from this low-probe method implemented in MOLCAS, derived by Gagliardi and Carlstrom some years ago. We also derive fresh partial charges. And then we obtain the final properties by subtracting the properties obtained for these pieces, which are counted twice. So here what I show is really the most interesting results that we obtain on this work. So here what I'm showing are these effective dielectric constants for all the chromophore pairs in the system as a function of donor acceptor separation, as obtained from this continuum dielectric description of the system, or through the atomistic description, either accounting only for the protein, the floating and the bound waters on the surface or inside the protein, or the full system. And what is interesting here to see is that if you average all this interaction between the chromophores from the QMM approach, you are in some way averaging the effective dielectric properties you obtain. And in fact, you obtain an average effective dielectric constant for energy transfer, which is very similar to the one you obtain from the continuum description. But the interesting thing is that in fact, if you look at the individual values for the chromophore pairs, there's really a very significant spread of the effective dielectric constant that the different chromophore pairs in the system are experiencing. Just to have an idea, for example, a value of 1.3 or 2.4 means having twice an interaction strength in these chromophores, depending on where on the system they are placed. So another nice thing with this atomistic methodology is that you can plot the residue contributions to this electronic coupling and try to understand from where these different effective dielectric properties come. So these are two extreme cases we found, the central molecular dimer in the center of the protein and this peripheral DBB pair. And just to show the impact this has on the rates, here I'm plotting energy transfer constants obtained from the crystal structure and the continuum dielectric description of the environment, or this the distribution of the rates. You can also explore with this coupled MD QMM methodology. You can see that in some cases you have a quite significant spread on the rates. Sometimes it underestimates its lower rate compared to the PCM description, or a higher, and then you have a remarkable fluctuations of these electronic couplings. And just to finish, these fluctuations in the coupling have quite important consequences in the quantitative models for energy transfer and are typically neglected. And here we just dissected the contribution to these fluctuations in different contributions that you can have from this point dipole approximation. And just the interesting thing is that these fluctuations are mainly due to changes in the orientation of the chromophores. In fact, the changes, oscillations in the distances are quite small. So, as the conclusion of this work, first from this resource, from the continuum description, that you really have very attenuated screenings at short separations. And then this effect of the protein, which is really not limited, as is usually thought, of fixing the spatial arrangement of the chromophores in the system, but can also have a more active role in tuning these interactions. In particular, we find for this E545 complex effective dielectric properties ranging from 1.3 to 2.6. And then another interesting result is that the lowest effective dielectric constant we find in the system is for a pair of molecules which are the lowest energy molecules in the system. And this could be not a coincidence, because when you have this energy transfer process, it is expected that first you absorb the protein, then this energy relaxes to this lowest energy chromophores, and then it is from this pair that it has to travel from protein to protein, So it could be not a coincidence that this particular interaction is tuned to be optimal, but the electric environment. So I just want to acknowledge Professor Gregory Stoltz and Jordan Isaac at the University of Toronto, where I began this work on this economic methodology, Professor Meneta Menucci and Dr. Aurora Muñoz from the University of Pisa, and Jacob Comstedt from the University of Southern Denmark that participated on all this development of this work. And thanks to all of you.
Thank you very much. It's a very complicated topic. So it's time for some short questions. Yes.
Yeah, thank you. It's a very nice talk. I have a question. There was a recent paper in JAX by Thomas Wenger and co-workers who investigated structure-based calculations of spectra in photosynthetic systems. And they actually claim, and they also refer to your work, that they can work with a single directed constant to describe the environmental effect. Now, I mean, with your methodology now, you should be in a position to check actually whether that is true. Because what they mention as a possibility in these QMM-based calculations that may induce a difference are charge leaking effects due to the point charges that you place in the environment, which actually I think is maybe not very likely, but maybe you can comment on that. First of all, whether you observe such effects, and second of all, what other applications there could be. Is it just an averaging effect that a single dielectric constant is okay?
I'm not aware of this recent paper, but the first thing, the point charges don't play a significant role here, no? Because this dielectric scaling is all due to the polarization term. No? So in fact, we tested different sets of charges and we obtained the same screening. No? And so sometimes in some models, maybe just with a dielectric constant, you have an average value, which for some applications is okay. You don't need so fine tuning these interactions. But I think if you really want to have the best and understanding, I mean, on this fitting of this spectra, there are so many parameters, no?
Yeah.
That probably they obtain exactly the same fitting if they use just this constant screen or not.
Yeah, but this is what I mean. You would, in principle, be able to check that now with this German approach, right?
Yeah. The problem is the same. You have so many parameters on this fitting, no? That you would not be sure, no? If you, it's difficult to be sure. No? It's very difficult to check in front of experiment these effects.
Well, we thank again the speaker.